Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to St. Luke from the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 17. Let us listen together for the word of the Lord. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him, and they stood at a distance, and they called out in a loud voice, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." When he saw them, he said, "Go, show yourself to the priests." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back, praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, "Were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Rise and go. Your faith has made you well." This is the word of the Lord. I have something I don't usually use, and that's a few notes for this morning, because this is a very complicated, convoluted message, and I need to try and keep it in some kind of order. So I'm just warning you beforehand. It's been a strange couple of weeks. Got to find a name for you first. Well, I guess I can't find it. Not important. Oh, there it is. 2 weeks ago, or the last time I preached, I did a message on blue, 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 green, 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 and yellow, yellow, yellow. And I've heard a lot about that message the last couple of weeks. Priscilla used it in her sermon last week. There was a man and his wife here from Arizona. He was a pastor of a Methodist church there, and they stopped here for worship. And I introduced myself, and the first thing he said was, "Are you the one that preached on blue and green and yellow?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "I like that sermon. It works. People do hear it." And they came here. Well, I have a confession to make. I was wrong. After the worship service on Sunday morning, a woman who was an artist, and she and her husband, I believe, lived in North Carolina, and were here visiting, and she said, "You know that blue and green don't make yellow, do they?" How many of you knew that when I said it? Okay. Very nice of you not to tell me. I've used that illustration 4 or 5 times through the last 30 years for different kinds of sermons. And I said, "Well, what combination there does make another color?" And she said, "Well, blue and yellow make green." I learned that a long time ago when I was a child, and I had crayons, and I put blue on a page, and I put yellow on top of it, and green was what I saw. It's not a dark shade of green. It's more just of a greenish tint. I tell you that because it would have been nice if I had done that on purpose, and then that would have led to this morning's sermon. But I, by accident, by making a mistake, we got here anyway. This morning's scripture lessons from Lamentations. What a sad, sad story in reading. The people, God's people, had lost everything, and they continued to lose more. And they cried, and they didn't know what to do. And in this particular chapter, all that had been theirs, all that was good in their life, was gone. And that's sad. Then, the reading from the New Testament and 2 Timothy is sad in a way, because Paul is in prison, but he's writing to tell his friend or his follower, disciple, if you will, that he missed him very much. He missed everything about him. He missed his faithfulness. He missed the way that he would fan the flame of faith. He missed his evangelic nature. He missed his love and caring. But he was so happy to remember. His memory was of Timothy, the evangelist, who reached out to people and did fan that flame. And this morning's gospel lesson is happy, and happy, and then sad again. See, Jesus was asked by a group of lepers to heal him. They called for him as he walked along the road. And he told them to go and show themselves to the priests. And while they were on their way, their leprosy was healed. And they were probably pretty happy about that. That's a happy part. But one returned praising God to thank Jesus for what happened. That was a happy thought. And then the sad thought again. Why has only one returned praising God? What happened to the other nine? I would say all the people in all the churches in Ellsworth this morning do not account for more than 10% of the population. Now that's just a guess. It may be a little less or a little bit more, but I bet it's in that ballpark. So this is a special morning. We're worshiping together. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. And yet, 90% of the people in this area will not darken the door of the church. What are we to learn from all of these different passages? Well, I'll go back to my green, blue, and yellow, and I have something to share with you. You are responsible for correcting me. Think about that. If you do not, if you are not familiar with God's word, how will you ever know what I'm saying is true or false? If I'm the only one that stands up here and you have to listen to me Sunday after Sunday and I make mistake after mistake and you don't know it, what could happen? Well, I'll tell you what happens when that goal happens. We get more and more and more denominations. Did you ever wonder why churches split? It's because people in the congregation and the pastor have disagreed. The pastor may have actually lied to the congregation, or vice versa, and there's a split. And so one church becomes two, and two churches become four, and four churches become eight. Check my math on that now. Think about it. We are in a fix. We have separated ourselves from our sisters and brothers in faith. They have separated themselves from us. All because enough people didn't know enough about God's word to be able to come together. They were more than willing to separate themselves over small things when the large things are what we need to consider. Life is like the scripture lessons, good times and bad times. If there's anyone in this congregation sitting here this morning who has never had a bad time in their life, would you please raise your hand? If there's anyone in this congregation gathered who's ever had a good time, would you raise your hand? Yeah. The good and the bad times mix. And it's the only way we can distinguish between the good and the bad and where we're to travel is through God's holy word. Not just a dead, static word, the living word of God. That very presence in our midst that touches our hearts and our minds and moves us from day to day. We are all responsible for knowing that living word of God, for making it part of our lives. And yet it's hard to do. It's easier. I find it easier, much easier, to some evening sit down and watch the Red Sox rather than read my Bible. And then on other days, it's easier to shovel snow than to read my Bible. We all make excuses. I make excuses, you make excuses. But we need to know God's word because we need to share it with one another and we need to use it together. In this area, from here to Bangor, there have been pastors who have lied to their congregation, sometimes to raise money, sometimes to do different things. If you've been in this area, you probably know some of the names. I don't need to bring them up. But it's happened. And terrible things have happened. Some very large churches have split over the whole situation. There are basics that we know. We know that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. We know that. But there are other things we need to read as well. We know the Christmas story. We know the Easter message. We know a little bit about Pentecost, not as much, but you know what? That's the third most important holy day of the whole year. And we sometimes skip over that. That's why I used the Pentecost reading in our call to worship this morning. This morning, if you were sad when you came in about something, be happy because we will move to the Lord's Supper. We will move to the means of grace, to that wondrous gift of God that we receive through the sadness of Christ's crucifixion and the joy of his resurrection. So I urge you, find some time. And if I make a mistake, tell me. Like the woman did a few weeks ago, who was very gracious and very kind, when she silently carefully told me that blue and green do not make yellow. Yes, sisters and brothers, we are responsible to each other. We are responsible to God, and we need to know more about the living word of God. More than just what comes out on Sunday morning. Because who knows? Someone may need to be corrected someday. I suspect there are those of you here who would tell me if I have made a mistake in Scripture. I hope there are. Yeah, there are. And if and when that happens, don't be afraid to tell me. If you disagree with what I say, don't be afraid to tell me. We can talk about it. It's important that we who worship together have the same understanding. God is revealed to us in God's living Word through His Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. We need to share and be open with one another over God's Word. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you for the Holy Scriptures, for your living Word, for the Bible. We pray that you help us to become more familiar with it, that as we seek to serve you and know you, we may find you revealed in that holy Word. Touch us and fill us with the joy that comes from serving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.